Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell. And as always, on a Saturday, I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest, the wrestler.
Yeah, I'm Tempest. I'm Tempest, the wrestler. You can only find so many ways to quote Scott Pilgrim before you really start scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. And honestly, woke up about 20 minutes ago, so I haven't really gotten the mental capacities to think of something clever and witty and fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, how are you, Pete? Yeah.
All right. I loved the very understated intro. Much like the debut of a certain person in a certain company yesterday. It's very understated. I'm Tempest, I guess. Yeah, sure, that's me. I'm doing okay. I had an interesting evening yesterday because I rearranged my entire living room. I moved everything around. So now I'm sitting in a different corner of the room at my desk, which I moved over, moved the TV to the opposite side of the room, moved the sofa across, moved the bookshelf and everything. It was a whole sort out. It was really cool. I also got a text yesterday saying that I'm now eligible to get my first jab, which is pretty cool. Oh, nice. First vaccine. No appointments yet because too busy, but I'll keep checking that link every day for when I can actually get one. So at least I'm now eligible so I can get one. Soon, fingers crossed.
That's definitely a
big plus. So yeah, it was a good night. I'm feeling okay. I'm a bit tired today, but I'm good. I'm gonna put that down to all the physical labor that I did of like moving a sofa and moving a desk. That's probably like my body's just gone, what the hell are you doing, man? Stop.
Of course.
Yeah. How are you?
I can't complain, I suppose. Another week in the paradise that is Toronto. I don't know if it was this week or last week, but it snowed again. Don't know what that's about besides just being Canada. We are getting the vaccine rollout for the second doses starting to ramp up, which is very encouraging. Very excited about that. I should be able to get my second dose appointment moved up by about a month, which is
nice.
It's very nice. I'm hoping very much so that this will lead to the borders being reopened sooner rather than later, which I'm interested in because if it opens before the end of the summer, I'm strongly considering going to All Out.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Because I should have my second dose like well in advance of that. And at that point, it simply becomes just is enough of the Canadian population vaccinated that we can open the border and I can get into America, but I won't know that for at least a little while. So at least for now, I'm taking the good news that I should be able to get fully vaccinated by about mid-July.
That's still pretty good. And that's almost certainly a while before I'll be fully done anyways. So you'll always have that one over me. Anyway, let's get into talking about SmackDown for now. We've got some emails to get through in the outro. And here's a little tease for the outro. I've got a thing I want to talk to you about, Tempest, in the outro that I came across when I was on YouTube yesterday that I think you'll appreciate. So yeah, let's get into talking about SmackDown, where the thing we're going to be talking about first is Roman Reigns the best character in wrestling right now? Spoilers, yes. Let's talk about it. But firstly, we're going to be talking about Roman Reigns in particular, because we've said it for months now that Roman Reigns is the best thing about SmackDown by far and away. Always, like, the shining light of the show is always anything that Roman Reigns is involved in. And we always say how without Roman, like we said on last week's show, that without Roman, SmackDown might not be that good a show. But, oh man, this week in particular, something about everything that Roman did on this show, I was like, he's just the best. And I just want to, like, just gush about how good this character is, and all the layers and everything surrounding him is so good all the time. So let's just go through everything that Roman did on the show, and then we'll talk about the actual question at hand. Also, I'm well aware that last week's SmackDown was, is SmackDown actually good, with a picture of Roman on it? And this week, is the thumbnail is a picture of Roman with the best. So, you know, don't yell at me. I know it seems contradictory, but it does make sense, I promise. Anyway, the show started with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman coming out to the ring, neither Uso joining. And Roman basically just saying that they better make sure that the Usos still win. They've called their shot, and now they've got to follow through. The Usos come out, and he asked Jimmy to acknowledge him. And Jimmy just is kind of like, no, I don't think I will. It's fine. He's just like, it's not really about that. It's about us winning the tag titles, Oos, etc. It was a good time. And Roman specifically addresses Jay, because it's the really small things that make this Roman character. He's kind of looking at both the Usos, and he's just chilling. You know, he's got one hand in his pocket, just kind of chilling, chatting into the microphone. And he specifically looks at Jay and just says, our whole family's watching. And I was like, I know what that means. It means that there's going to be bad consequences if they don't win in their match, which is great, because it is specifically addressing Jay to be like, you know what's going to happen if you screw up here. And again, it's the subtle layers that make this character great, which led straight into the Usos versus the Mysterios for the tag team titles, which wasn't the main event, which was a brilliant little touch, just furthered the whole thing that Roman is right all the time, because he says if Jay goes along with what he said last week, if Jay follows what Roman does, he goes a main event after main event after main event. But as soon as he starts tagging with Jimmy again, he's relegated to the opening match. And yet again, he's tagging with Jimmy and he's in the opening match. I was like, this is, yes, all of this, yes, take all my yeses, was great. So that whole opening thing was just awesome. Yeah. Was that supposed to be a Thunderdome, or was that a I have a thing to say, or was that a...
It was like a Thunderdome. You said, give me all of your yes.
Yes, and you did a yes. I get you. Okay, yeah, I'll win it, yeah.
On the ball today, Pete.
Brain is engaged, as you can see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if you haven't been able to tell from my fabulous YouTube channel, Tempest the Wrestler, where I break down how WWE fixed Roman Reigns, I'm a big fan of this character. You should go and subscribe to that channel if you haven't already. You should go watch that video. I think it's pretty good. This character, man, is so good. It's so good. Like you said, it's the layers. It's the nuance and the subtlety. Like, they don't hit you over the head with the details here. They treat the audience like they're smart. They treat the audience like you're smart enough to watch this and not need the commentary or whoever's involved to be like, oh, well, you know what that means? That means that this and that and the other thing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, you don't need that. You can treat the audience with some respect and give them the benefit of the doubt that they can watch this and know what's going on. And that's exactly what's been going on with Roman Reigns for God, almost a year now, and it's so good. It's such a complete just it's the complete opposite of everything else that happens in WWE. And in this particular episode, I firmly believe that SmackDown lives and dies with how much Roman Reigns content is on the show. And a lot of the times that's difficult because Roman doesn't wrestle on SmackDown very often, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It makes him feel more special. But he doesn't wrestle so very often. So if he doesn't have like a big promo segment, he doesn't really have a whole lot to do sometimes. It'll be pushed onto other things, or the Usos will take more of a spotlight, which again isn't bad, but if you want the show to be at its peak, it's when Roman Reigns is the absolute center of attention. This week it felt like pretty close to him being the center of attention. He was able to come out and get the promo segment at the start of the show, be involved throughout the show with backstage segments, and then be involved in the main event again. And that is just perfect. That's the perfect way to have a positive experience on this show. And Roman is just, he's just so good. He has the little details and the little subtle character moments. And it's, we'll get into the promo segment he had backstage, but everything about that promo segment was just fantastic. Like, it was a work of art, and a work of art as far as just manipulating people. And we talked about his manipulation in the last couple weeks. Ooh, it's so good. So good. Love it.
Dude, that backstage promo, I lost my mind. I had to pause watching for a second, and I literally put my face in my hands and went, oh my God. Like, that was such a brilliant... Also, I've noticed that I've rearranged my living room, and I now have a different lighting setup, and I realized that this cap is like cutting off my lighting, so I'm going to sort this out. Hold on. You just talk amongst yourselves.
All right, so Roman Reigns, we've got the... backwards hat Eminem now.
Okay, we're good.
I got half of a sentence in before I just said, yeah, backwards hat Eminem. Roman Reigns is the best character in wrestling. I mean, it's a debate, and I've been looking at, you know, the chat here and how this could be quite a debate if we were to go back and forth with some of them. I think it ultimately comes down to your taste. But to me, he is definitely like a finalist as far as the best character in wrestling. And I don't see how he couldn't be, you know. Yeah. He's so much more of a complete multidimensional character than like 95% of people in wrestling right now. And it's not even just that he's a multidimensional character, but he's a multidimensional character put in the position to be top guy, which means that he gets to show off more of his character more often, which we said in the AEW stream during Double or Nothing, that if you put Kenny Omega in as many segments as Roman Reigns is in as prominent a role, I know he's the champion, but you don't get to see Kenny Omega come out and cut like the promo segments at the start and end of the show or such and such, because AEW just doesn't really do that. But if Kenny Omega was put in that position, I don't know that he would be any worse than Roman Reigns as a character. That being said, like, I can't hold that against Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns being put in the best position, it's just another thing that you add on to this package that is Roman Reigns. I don't know if you can't say that he's the best character in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, and I think it's a testament to the Reigns character, and also obviously all the people that are helping come up with the stories and writing and all that stuff, like Paul Heyman's got his fingerprints all over it, that it's almost a testament to Reigns that he's in so many segments every week, but he never feels overexposed. And that is a really hard balance to strike. It's a very interesting point, actually, from SP3, who's in the chat. Hello, SP3. Big Hi, fan. SP3. Wrestling Daily's SP3. You should go and subscribe to Wrestling Daily. It's a great channel. Saying Roman is the best character in wrestling, but I'm starting to feel the storyline is overrated. The backstage segment with Roman and the Usos was one of the best in WWE all year, though. That I will agree with. I did have my gripes with the story this week, which I'll get into. In fact, let's continue on, because otherwise we're going to be talking about this for ages, because we've already been talking for 10 minutes. We've not even said anything that happens on the show yet. We had the match between the Usos and the Mysterios. I thought this was a fun match. Which was the opener. I loved the spot where Ray goes to slide out the ring. Jay catches him into a Samoan drop, and Samoan drops him onto the commentary table. I thought that was really fun. And it built up to a Dominic hot tag, which was great. And it was he looked really good in the hot tag, I thought. And it went back and forth after that hot tag, kind of like near falls on both sides, kind of both teams getting in their stuff. And then Dominic Mysterio rolled up Jimmy Uso, 1-2-3. And I went, oh, man, like, just a roll up and Uso's lost clean. That kind of sucks. But then props to the commentary. For once, they did a really good job. Michael Cole was like, oh, did I see? I don't want to say. And it was like he like you could see that like something was happening like from the off. They were just like, oh, someone's a bit off here. And I was like, because I missed it entirely when it first happened. And they showed on replays. They went back and showed it. Jimmy Uso kicked out at 2 and the referee missed it, which I thought was wonderful for this story, for this specific situation. That finish is absolutely perfect. That's the best finish you could have done in this match, because they did lose technically, because the referee's decision is final. We even heard it on this show. They did technically lose, but they shouldn't have lost. The referee missed the decision. It means the Mysterios get a win, an actual win. They retain their titles, but the Usos have a legitimate gripe as to why they couldn't win. And it's something that they can defend themselves against Roman with, but Roman won't accept as an excuse for losing. It just, so many layers to it that all just fit so perfectly for this specific situation that they're in. The absolute perfect finish they could have done. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head there. I mean, everything that you just said was absolutely correct. The only thing I wish would have been done better was like the actual finish itself, like physically, because I thought it looked kind of stinky. But again, that's not storyline based. That's just, you know, your actual wrestling match kind of thing, where Jimmy Uso just kind of like landed on his feet basically and pretended to get the knees in the gut, and then just, you know, slowly rolled over into a. Yeah. I've just seen this spot done a lot crisper before.
That's true.
That being said,
I will give him props though for Jimmy's kick out. It did actually look like a kick out that was legitimate. Yeah. And it wasn't like a really over the done, like, how did the referee not see that kind of kick out? I was like, oh no, the ref could see that, but that was a kick out. The actual kick out itself was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. Well, once they got into the pin, I thought it was fine. It was just everything getting into that from the sequence. Yes. That being said, I thought that the idea for the finish was just really, really good. You know, like you said, it's just the perfect way to get Roman Reigns to be angry, but also still a heel, because like, come on, man, like, oh, they got cheated. It's a fluke. Yeah. We'll get him next time. It's like, no, you got to win every match, because he didn't bring this up, but like, this doesn't happen to Roman. Roman doesn't lose for any reason whatsoever. So if you're in the position where you're just that good and you just don't lose, can't lose if you're in this family, man. You just lost. You know, you found a way to lose.
Yeah. Oh, man. Roman was watching the match backstage and was pissed. Told Heyman to go get the Usos. They came back. And I don't want to spend too long on this, because we will talk about this forever if we do. But this was genuinely my favorite segment on the whole show. This was absolutely wonderful, because the Usos came back. And they started off hot, just being like, man, you saw that. Like, Jimmy had a shoulder up. We shouldn't have lost this match. And Reigns just shouts over to be like, I don't want to hear it. Just shouts over him. And then he just dissects them. Like, and just saying that, like, they need to fix their mistake tonight. You better be glad that there's still time on the show, that you have time to fix your mistake. You better go do it. And he was saying, you guys are 6-time tag team champions, but you've made the WrestleMania card once. And was it actually?
It's twice.
Twice. Wow.
34 and 35.
Was it not 36? Oh, no, it was just Jimmy at 36, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the more you know.
Fact check. They've only won one Roman of the matches.
Yeah.
They've only won once. Roman.
But yes. And him saying, but at this year's WrestleMania, alongside me, Jay got to close WrestleMania. And then the best line on the whole show, for the best line I've heard in quite a while in WWE. Roman looks at Jay and says, do you understand my position, Jimmy? And I was like, wait, has Roman botched that line? Like, he's definitely looking at Jay. Why did he say Jimmy? And then it, like, the penny clicked. I was like, oh, no, Roman, you can't do that. And then Jay steps up and kind of like, I was like half confused. He's like, who's some? I'm Jay. And he goes, oh, the way it's going doesn't matter anyway. And then walks off. And I was like, Roman, you're such a dickhead. Oh, man. God, my heart when he said that line. Good God. I had to pause the show and just put my head in my hands and be like, oh, my God. Like, it's just the whole story of Jay not wanting to be seen as Jimmy and wanting to be his own person and being like, don't want to be confused between who's that one out of the Usos. Roman using that against him last week and saying that he's going back to that and then bringing it up this week and purposefully mistaking Jay for Jimmy this week just to like reinforce that point. Oh my God, I love this story so much.
It's perfect manipulation. Absolute perfect manipulation. Edge never manipulated anyone like Roman Reigns has manipulated the Usos in this storyline. And that's coming from like the biggest Edge fan that you'll see. Oh my God, it's so good. I saw this promo segment and just went, you know how we've been talking about how there needs to be like those big character moments in this storyline? Like every so often we're like, feels like it's about time for a big character moment. I feel like that's what this was. This show was a character moment for Jey Uso to be like, oh man, I don't want to be just one of the Usos. I want to be main event Jey Uso. Oh, it's so good. That's so good. It's so smart. Like I watched this. So I watched the storyline and be like, this is smart storytelling. Whereas I watch every other segment on this show and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is raw with a blue coat of paint. Oh, it's so good. I love it. And there's still another match to talk about.
There's still more. So then he walks off, just leaving him to it because he's a dick. And then later on, they go to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying they want it fixed. Sonya Deville says they'll review the footage and give them a decision later. And later on, they just go up to the Mysterios and be like, hey, yeah, we've reviewed the footage and you'll have to defend your titles again tonight. And they just go, okay. And then walk back again. I was like, oh, all right. No fight. No, nothing. Okay, sure.
I kind of like this. I went back and forth on this in my head and I was like, you know what? I feel like a good babyface team, like a babyface champion team, would do this. They're just like, yeah, all right, you know, we got one.
Yeah, we can go beat them again. If they knew that, like, hey, that was actually a two count, we shouldn't have won that match, then yeah, I could totally see them just saying, yeah, that makes sense. I just thought it was funny that okay was their only line. It wasn't like, oh, you know, well, we did win unfairly earlier, so yeah, we'll be happy to put our titles online. It was them just going, okay, and then walking off again. It was cool.
That's basically it. I think Ray was said something like, "Oh, what?" and Dominic is like, "No, it's fine.
It's okay.
We can go win." And Ray's like, "Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's do it then." Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was cool. We're heading into the main event. So, here's where I have my gripes with the story, okay? I didn't like that they got a title shot again on the same night. Would have been better to extend that out a week, personally. I just don't like it being on the same night. I don't like that it was the main event, because what was your main event if this didn't happen?
Yep.
It's just a gripe we have with WWE in general when they set up their matches, set up their main events at like the start of the show or whatever. It's a pet peeve both of us have. And also, to me, like the reason I wanted to extend it out a week or maybe not even have them challenge again was just because I wanted the consequences of them losing to be fully played out. Like, I wanted Roman to, like, lose his mind over them losing. And granted, he already did that in the backstage promo, which was great. But I felt like there was more of that story that needed to be told, and I didn't want them to rush into another match again. I felt like there was more story to tell before they got another chance at the titles. So I wasn't a huge fan of it being on the same night, personally. And the match itself, and I was expecting as well that this match would have started and immediately something would have happened. Like, they don't need to have another match. It should have been really an angle. I was expecting anyway. They had a match. I'd say it was not as good as the opening match, but it was fine. It was all right.
Yeah. Like,
it's what it is.
This was one of those times where I was watching WWE matches and I was just like, it doesn't feel different, you know? In this case, in particular, I would want the main event match and the opening match to feel different because stuff has happened throughout. I would want them to act different or wrestle different, be more aggressive. something like that. Be angry because they've been cost this match in the opening match. And didn't feel that way. This felt more like, oh, it's WWE. They have their one formula match to do. So we're just going to have them do that again with a different finish. And not a huge fan of that, but like, it's still like a good match. It just felt like I've watched it already on this show. In fact, you know,
exactly. Yeah. But having said that, when they did get to the finish and all the stuff post-match, I thought was really cool. So it got to a point where it looked like Jimmy was going to lose again, where he got hit with a 619 from Ray. Ray had tagged in Dom, and Dom looked like he was going to go for the frog splash. And if he hit it, chances are he'd probably pin and win. Jimmy was going to be down for the three count. Before Dom could hit that frog splash, though, Roman Reigns comes in, smashes a Superman punch onto Dom, causing the DQ finish. And you know what? This is an example of a DQ finish being done really, really well. This makes so much sense for this DQ finish. See, on the surface, if you'd have just gone, they did a match in the opener, they booked a rematch for the main event, and then that main event ended in a DQ. God, that sounds like an awful show. But all of this makes sense. All of this plays into their character so perfectly, because Jimmy was on the cusp of losing, and then Reigns comes in, causes the DQ, and screams at Jimmy, "You're not going to embarrass this family twice in one night," which is just like, that makes so much sense. Like, he knew that Jimmy was going to lose, so to save the family from losing, granted they lost by DQ, but it's better than having a pinfall finish, right? And he came in, Superman punches Dom, beats up Dom, spears Ray, and then just goes ham on Dom. Just, like, grabs the steps, starts mauling him, and Jimmy's like, "Hey, man, that's enough. You should stop that now." Like, gets the guillotine onto Dom and stuff like that. Jimmy walks out of the ring and calls Jay. He's like, "Jay, come on, let's go." And Jay's like, "Uh-oh. What do I do? Uh-oh." And then
he's like, he doesn't know. Right? He's a puppy between two people who are both like, "Hey, come here, boy. Come here, boy.
Yeah.
Come to me."
Yeah, that's exactly it. And he doesn't know where to go. And he kind of like starts like slowly sauntering towards the side of the ring, like not really looking at Roman, like, "Maybe I'll leave the ring." And Roman just walks straight up to him, gets in his face and just stares down at him. And I love this, that Jay couldn't look at him, couldn't make eye contact, and couldn't make eye contact with Jimmy either. Was just kind of looking down, just like, "Man, I don't know what to do here." Which was beautiful stuff. Roman then beats up Dom a bit more, and then the show just goes off the air. So, again, a little gripe. Really would have liked to have seen a decision from Jay before the cameras go off the air, because now I'm asking, like, well, what happens after the cameras stop? They don't stop existing. What did Jay do? Why don't we know that? It's something that we've spoken about before. I think it was in, like, you know, there was a finish for Hell in a Cell last year where I think Drew slammed the Hell in a Cell shut. And then the cameras cut off and it goes to Raw Talk after, and they're not there. It's like, well, what did they do then? Where did they go? Come on, guys. But other than
screenwriting. You got to think about what happens 15 seconds after the camera cuts.
Exactly, yeah. Because this is a live format and the time of the show operates on our time, you have to think about these things. There has to be a definitive close to it. But that is a minor gripe, because the storytelling involved in it was absolutely brilliant. The heartbreak all over Jay's face is wonderful. All of these characters work so well. And I said this in my edited review earlier. The reason this story works so much better than any other story in WWE is the fact that these are fully formed characters who have their own motivations, and they actually get affected by other people's actions, and their characters change based off their actions and other people's actions. And you never see that in WWE ever. They're their character, they have their story, and then they're the same character afterwards. It's like taking out one of the most fundamental parts of storytelling, of characters going through changes. It's literally part of the hero's journey. That's a thing. It's an actual concept of storytelling that WWE don't do. And that's why this story works so well. So is Roman Reigns the best character in wrestling? I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, everything in this storyline feels like it has meaning. We're never just kind of like spinning our tires on things. Wins and losses matter in this storyline, which makes a DQ finish matter more, because it's not a tried and true win or loss. Like, everything matters, and all of the actions of the characters have consequences, as you've said, which is the complete opposite of everything else that we've seen on WWE, as we'll get to on this show in particular. because I'm going to lose my mind. But yeah, it's just so good. And I will say, in terms of Roman Reigns being the best character in wrestling, I will say that as his current presentation shows that he is. However, there are other characters that I feel just as deeply connected to in wrestling as I do with Roman Reigns that just aren't being given the amount of screen time as he is. And that is like, you know, that's the deal, you know. And again, I'm not blaming anybody for that. And I think it definitely benefits Roman Reigns in that case. But if Kenny Omega and if Hangman Page as well were able to get as much screen time and character development in such a short period of time as Roman Reigns, then I think that I would probably pick one of them as the best characters in wrestling. That being said, they're not given as much screen time. So with the screen time that Roman is given, gotta have to go with Roman.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, let's see what you guys thought, because we have spoken about that for quite a long time. Let's get into your Ultra Chats. If you guys want to get in your Ultra Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Link is on screen right now. You can get your messages in, and we will make sure to get through every single one of them before the show gets off air today. James Markin comes in to say, I don't like this story. Excuse me. Your new tag champs are jokes already to make your top champion look more badass. They don't really win the first match and then get destroyed by the top star in the company. WWE is still sacrificing everyone to get one guy over. I disagree with that. I think the Mysterios actually came out looking stronger than they did going into this show, because literally by association. And the thing is, you say they don't really win the first match. They did win the first match. Granted, Jimmy did kick out. There was a referee discrepancy, but the referee's decision is final. They won that match. That's how it goes. They held their own against the Usos fine. They held their own in the second match. They were on the cusp of winning the second match. They'd hit the 619. If they'd hit the frog splash, they would have beaten them. And yeah, they got beaten up by Roman. They'd been in two matches that night. And it's Roman Reigns. Like, I strongly disagree that they look like jokes.
Yeah, and also, we've been saying for, like, years that WWE doesn't push one person as a star. They push the brand, and that's the whole argument and everything. You know, sometimes, if you've got one star, like they do on SmackDown, that's the point. He's the focus of the show. And if you use other things to get him over, that's not a bad thing. I'm not going to be upset that they're giving Roman Reigns more when he's by far the best thing on the show and by far the biggest star in the company right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Charles Berg says he's the best character easily. He has nuance and a very clear goal that drives all his actions, which is something a lot of characters and stories in wrestling lack. But I think the real question should be, why can't they do this with everybody? 3 out of 5 show. Mm-hmm. It's partially what you said. I do agree that they should be doing more of this with everybody. They couldn't do it with everyone because they don't have the amount of screen time, and you can't have everyone be the top star in the company at the same time. That doesn't make sense. But they absolutely can have more people with character.
Additionally, you can also just have wins and losses matter.
Yeah.
The idea of consequences and actions and everything like that we just talked about, how everything matters in the storyline, you can apply that to everything in WWE. If they just had good writers and good storylines, that's not the you don't need to pour this year-long storyline with character development into every single storyline, but you mm-hmm. should have everything in every storyline matter. That is like the baseline of why this is successful, because things matter.
100%. Yeah, exactly. Steven Guzman says, so for me, it's between Roman and Kenny Omega as best character in wrestling for me personally. A part of me wants to pick Roman, but I just get this feeling the overall arc won't end well, and it makes me nervous watching the storyline. Am I crazy here? No. WWE doesn't have a good track record. You know, that's totally reasonable for you to not expect it to end well. I've been in similar kind of before Roman came back last year. I was very much at that point where I never got invested in any storyline because I was like, well, it's never going to go anywhere. Like, nothing's going to matter at the end of the day. So who cares, right? So, yeah, you're definitely not crazy for thinking that, because it's totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's still WWE, so...
Yeah, exactly.
They could mess this up at any point, but they've been going so long with Roman Reigns and it being good. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt this one time.
Yeah. Tyrone Kidd says, I think Roman is 1A to Adam Page's 1B, with the edge being that Roman is used every week. The emotional ride that Page is going through tugs at your feelings. It sure does. Sure does. And I'll say that the Jay backstage segment for this one, that tugged at my feelings this week. Goodness me. That line. Oh my God. You understand my position, good. Jimmy? Who's I'm Jay? But for now, let's talk about the rest of SmackDown. So we had that whole opening bit with the Roman, and then we had the Usos versus the Mysterios, and the Roman backstage segment. Then we had a Seth Rollins interview, which was basically nothing. We got a recap of Rollins attacking Cesaro. Kayla Braxton brings up Cesaro, and then Rollins doesn't want to talk about Cesaro, so he takes off the mic, and that was it.
I'd rather he just not be on the show.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I don't know what the point of this was, really. Sure.
Yeah.
That's a story that's still going on, I guess.
I'm so not interested in this story. And when they just have like a 5-minute segment completely wasting my time, I'm just like, mm-hmm. It's go away heat. Give Cesaro something else to do. Give Seth Rollins something else to do.
Yeah, legit. We then had the first of 3 backstage segments involving the Street Profits. And I tell you what, Tempest, I quite like this. Show long story. It made sense. The characters made sense. It's more of what we were talking about with Roman. Ooh, crazy. So, Street Profits backstage. Chad Gable comes up to them and says, hey, man, profits are down. Like, you guys, Ford, I've been looking at the tapes. You've got like 6 less inches on your frog splash lately. I can help you. All you need to do is join the Alpha Academy. We can get you right back to where you belong. Are you with me, guys? And they're like, no. And then they walk off. Which, like, you know, I don't blame them. It's Chad Gable in the Alpha Academy. Also, you could just say no nicely. They were being a bit mean to good old Chad. He was just trying to help. God.
I will say about nice. this whole thing, the only thought that I had about it was it really does just feel like of the 4 or I guess maybe 5 tag teams they've got, it's literally just like, okay, that one got finished wrestling that one. Mm-hmm. That one's now going to wrestle that one.
Yeah.
This whole tag division doesn't feel like wins and losses matter because it's just, we will finish wrestling Rude and Ziggler. Now we're going to wrestle Alpha Academy. And the Mysterios finish wrestling Alpha Academy, and now they're going to wrestle Rude and Ziggler. Now they're going to wrestle the Usos. It really does just kind of feel like hit shuffle, and we'll get a rivalry out of it and go for a few weeks.
That's very fair. I did like the fact that Chad Gable was mentioning to the Street Profits about this stuff after they'd lost to the Usos. So at least that makes sense. It's not like the Profits had come off the back of three wins and then Chad Gable goes, hey man, you've not been doing well lately.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which is something that WWE would have done, I reckon. So at least that made sense. Which was good. We'll talk about the other two now as well, because it was a show-long story. Might as well. We have the second one later on, where Otis goes up to the Street Profits, and he was saying, hey, guys, you were being really disrespectful to Chad. You should totally apologize to him. He's great, and he's just trying to help you. And Montez Ford is like, nah, I'm not going to apologize to anyone, because we have no need to. Also, Chad Gable's holding you back. Do you not see that? Like, what has he done for you since you've actually joined? Like, realistically, what has he done for you? And Otis is like, And then he just beats him up because he's Otis. I thought it was pretty cool. Like, he just punches Montez Ford, just pushes Dawkins into like a crate and walks off. I was like, cool. All right. This is a story that's progressing. I'm into it. This is all right. But then we got the best one, which was a third one, which was the Street Profits just by themselves. And they said the same words that they would normally say in their own promo, but they said it very quietly, very serious, very subdued, and they just spoke like people. And Montez Ford was just saying, you know, Chad Gable's saying that we've been disrespectful, when the only people that I can see being disrespectful is Chad Gable and Otis. And he just, and the whole tone of the promo was completely different. And he just comes in at the end and he goes, and the Street Profits are up and we want the smoke. And I was like, why am I now really into this? Like, I really want to see this match. And it's like, it's the same as normal, but such a drastic shift in tone that it makes us feel completely different from every other Street Profits promo we've ever seen from them before in WWE. And it made it feel like, oh, this is like, this is serious. They mean this. This is good. And it made me invested in it. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically the opposite of the promo they had on the Usos a couple weeks ago, but their promos make me want to see their matches. And that's not something I can say about a lot of WWE. So that gets a thumbs up from me. That's good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought, you know, for a few that started on this show, I was like, man, they've actually got me invested out with nothing. This is pretty good. Like, it's good job building this match that I want to see. And they'll probably do it next week, and then it will lead to nothing, but it's not actual proper feud. Who knows? But, you know. Sorry, just went in the chat. If Dawkins started doing his yeah and clapping while trying to do a serious tone.
That's quite good.
Very good. We then had a match between Carmella and Liv Morgan. I've seen a lot of people really down on this. I quite like this match. I quite like both these people. They both had little in-screen promos putting over their characters, and sure, they're very basic characters of Carmella being like, I'm hot, and Liv goes, haha, no, I'm hot, and that's about it. That's about the extent of their characters, which isn't great. But it only went like 2 minutes, but I think both of them have improved in-ring so much that I was like, wow, this is pretty good. This is not bad at all. And they had, I genuinely, one of my favorite things. It's so, I have two opposite ends of the spectrum for Carmella. Stop doing the merry-go-round. It's the worst. She didn't do it in this match, so thumbs up. She has the worst move in wrestling. But also, the code of silence is really cool. And she always gets into it really smoothly, and it looks really nice. It's really cool. She got it in here on Liv Morgan and tapped right in about 2 minutes. But I want to see more of Liv Morgan. I think she's really good. I think both of them are really good and have improved a lot. Though there was a bad commentary line of Michael Cole saying, Liv Morgan, going it alone tonight. Wonder why that is, Cole. Michael?
Yeah. Dickhead. Yeah. Oh my god. How do you make that comment?
I don't know.
I've been doing this for like 24 years. Anyway, it was a 2 minute match, so it was as good as it could be. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that these matches will be building up Carmella for a match with Bianca Belair after the Bayley feud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really see the point of it. Like, it to me feels like they are keeping Carmella strong to have a viable challenger. And if it's just that she's winning matches to at one point be positioned for a title shot, I think that's totally fine. That being said, if they don't go that direction and these are just random matches on SmackDown, then I really don't see the point of it. But I don't think that's the case. I think she will be the next challenger. So, again, benefit of the doubt. Let's just cross our fingers and hope we get there.
Yes. And Carmella's new thing is being announced as the most beautiful woman in all of WWE. That's her thing now, apparently. Sure. Ooh. Yep. Bianca Belair cut a promo saying that people are laughing at Bayley. No, wait, sorry. Well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we got a comment here saying we're dissing Cole for no reason. Was he supposed to act like nothing happened? Kinda. How about you just don't mention it?
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. Don't be like, oh, she's coming in this match alone when you just fired her tag partner. Yeah. Like, no, don't do that. Or at very least, you can say like, oh, her tag team partner was released. Like, do it officially, like an actual commentator.
Actually mention it. Yeah.
Yeah.
God. It's either one. It's either don't mention it at all or bring up and say the truth and say Ruby Riott was released recently, so Liv Morgan is here alone tonight. It's one of the two, one or the other. Don't just be like, well, Liv Morgan fighting alone. Like, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Tell us why, Michael. God. Anyway, Bianca Belair, cut a promo. I'm not blaming Michael Cole. It's not his fault. It's what he's told to say, obviously. But, you know, same thing. Bianca Belair cut a promo saying that people are laughing at Bayley, not with her. She challenges Bayley at Hell in a Cell. Bayley comes up on the Tron. Accepts the match, then she laughs some more. Then all the screens in the Thunderdome turn into Bayley laughing.
How do they keep latching on to the worst things? Like, I really liked Bianca's promo. I thought it was a good babyface promo. It wasn't like anything I'll really remember in a week or two, but it was like a good promo. I was happy while I was watching it. And I was hoping that we were going to get another promo like we got a few weeks ago, where Bayley came on and cut like a really serious promo, and it was really good. Bayley, serious Bayley is really good. She's one of my favorite wrestlers in WWE. I will say I completely loved her little sanctuary to herself. I thought that was really fun. I totally want to believe that that's her basement, that she just has a shrine. But I hate the laugh. It's channel changing heat. Like, if I could fast forward through this show and she just started laughing, I would just hit the skip button and come out on the other side of it and not listen to it. It's, oh my God. They keep doing this. They keep latching on to the worst possible thing. They love channel changing heat.
It's just the worst. And like, I love Bayley so much. Whoever told her to originally laugh, why did you have to do it in a way that Vince liked it, Bayley? Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, God. She's a hacker now, too.
Yeah. She's a hacker now. She could get into the Thunderdome. Yeah, let's not even think about the logistics of her actually changing all the Thunderdome screens to herself. God. It sucks. Mm-hmm. It sucks real bad. And Bianca just standing there with the title, just looking around, be like, what's happening? It's like, oh, God. She looks like an idiot. Bayley's an idiot. Everyone's an idiot. God, I hated this so much. Do you want to know what I hated more, though? God, it was this next match.
Yes, it friggin' was.
Oh, okay. So we got somehow we got a video package between Shinsuke Nakamura and King Corbin. How was this worth a video package? Sure, whatever. Then Shinsuke's entrance with Rick Boogs is very fun. Thumbs up for that. It's very fun. Pat McAfee getting on the commentary table and rocking out. That's quite fun. I'm on board. That's interesting. This match between Nakamura and Corbin was a nothing match. It was pretty boring. Nothing really happened. Then Corbin just kind of drags Nakamura onto the floor, rolls him up, and pins him. 1, 2, 3.
Ace Corbin wins. Deep in the gooch.
Corbin wins. Corbin goes out, grabs the crown that is his, rightfully his, runs off. But as he gets to the outside, Rick Boogs is there, grabs his ankle on the floor. Boogs got taken out during the match, got like shoulder tackled onto the floor. Grabs his ankle, holds him in place while Shinsuke beats up Corbin. Takes the crown back, puts it on, and then they celebrate as they walk away. Okay. Why are you celebrating? You lost! You lost, Shinsuke! You moron! It's not your crown! It's Corbin's! Why are you taking it from him? Also, it's 2-on-1 assault! Boogs is literally holding him in place, and Shinsuke's beating him up. They're the heels! They're taking someone else's property for no reason! And you lost! You didn't even win! You're just celebrating with it and playing all your music like you've won! You lost! Stop being sore losers! WWE doesn't understand baby faces! This doesn't make any sense! God, this just annoys me so much!
I don't even know where to start with all this. Like, I don't think I've seen a storyline that is just fundamentally wrong in every sense this in quite some time. This to me is the new Reginald of SmackDown. They took that garbage and moved it over to Raw. And you know what? I don't watch Raw, so that's good. That's a plus. That's a net positive for SmackDown to lose Reginald and that whole women's tag team title scene. That being said, they have, like, this is, I can't even put into words. Like, what are they doing? Have they never read a book? Have they never read or watched a movie? When do you ever see this in a movie? Where the hero of the storyline loses all the time. The villain beats him all the time, and the good guy steals his property. And they double team the bad guy, and they make him look foolish, but the bad guy keeps beating him. What is happening? For like, this isn't even taking into account the idea that Baron Corbin is just better than Shinsuke Nakamura and has been better than Shinsuke Nakamura solidly and decisively throughout this entire feud. Nakamura gets beat by Baron Corbin every time they wrestle and decisively.
All wins by distraction. That's the only way you can win.
Oh my God. Like, just put that out of your mind at how ridiculous that is to think that, you know, 5 years ago, Shinsuke Nakamura, best wrestler in the world, signs with WWE. Here he is just losing to Baron friggin' Corbin and stealing his goddamn crown. Put that out of your mind and just look at it as a babyface and heel thing. The roles of these people are completely diametrically opposite. I don't understand. Like, they could not screw this up more than they are right now. Like, I genuinely don't think that there is a way to ruin this more than it's already been ruined.
I've got a comment from the chat here that explains quite a lot. Yeah. If you just pretend that Corbin's turned face, it makes sense. That's the problem! You have to pretend he's a face, and he's not! He's Corbin! He's the biggest heel! That's the problem with the story. Is he's not a face. If he was a face, this is a fine story. But he's not! God.
Also, this is unrelated to the overall problem here. But they set a line on commentary here that really made me think. Am I crazy? Am I, like, maybe I've just been thinking wrong for like 6-7 years now. Is Baron not his name? Is his name Baron? Or is that a title?
I mean, a Baron is a title, but I assume his name was Baron Corbin. Yeah.
Right? That's what I thought. But they set a line on commentary here saying, first he was a baron.
Oh, then God.
Now he's a king. And I was like, wait, hang on. wait. Like, are you trying to tell me that he's got a regular human name? He's got a first name that's not Baron? And for he's just been a Baron? Ace, like, that's his title in WWE? What's his real name? Is that why he was Constable Corbin and now King Corbin? He's getting new titles. What's his name?
No, nothing says Baron like his NXT gimmick with the long hair and the biker outfit.
Yeah, he's just a Baron. How do you get the title of Baron in 2014 when he debuts?
Oh my god.
Figure it out. Lawrence Corbin.
Jesus Christ.
Lawrence Corbin. His name is Reginald. Reginald Leopold Corbin.
Bartholomew Corbin.
His name is.
Oh my gosh.
This is what I want to find the answer to. If I ever interview Baron Corbin, which God forbid, what is your first name? In storyline, is your name Baron or is that your title? Must know. The people must know.
Oh God. Anyway, we talked about way too long on that segment. Let's move on to the Intercontinental Championship match between Apollo Crews and Kevin Owens. Commander Aziz banned backstage, banned at ringside. So he attacks Kevin Owens backstage before the match. Classic. And he beats him up a lot before the match, shoves a crate into his ribs. And Owens is, boy howdy, is he selling those ribs for the whole match. Crews is also targeting the ribs through it as well. And he continues on, even to the point where, like, Owens goes to run off the ropes, bounces off the ropes, and is like, oh, no, and falls to the floor because his ribs hurt too much. It was a big beatdown for one pushed crate into the ribs. I liked the finishing move of this match. I really liked because it was Apollo Crews hitting a Death Valley driver onto the apron. And based off the whole ribs beatdown through the whole thing, he just pinned him off that. That makes a ton of sense. That's really cool. A Death Valley driver on the apron? You never see people win with that. That's like a transition move in NXT. It's great. but it ended it with that. Really cool. I have other gripes with this, though. Crews looks proper rubbish. Goodness me. Because he would have lost in like a minute last week. Owens just hit all the big moves, hit a stunner. And if Aziz wasn't there to hit the Nigerian nail on the head, then he would have, you know, he would have lost straight up in like a minute. This week, after Owens is already injured before the match, he can only just get a win. This was a very competitive match. Like, pop-up powerbomb was hit. Like, the only big move that Owens didn't hit was, like, the stunner. That was it. That's the only move, the only, like, big move that Owens normally hits that didn't get hit in this one. So, like, Crews looks proper crap. Like, he only just managed to get the victory over Owens here. But he does win, retains the title, and then Sami Zayn comes out and Huluva kicks Owens afterwards. And I was like, the match was fun. It was a decent match, but like, Crews does look proper crap coming out of it.
Yeah, I liked the match. I enjoyed it. I kind of went back and forth because, like, obviously, Commander Aziz is banned from ringside and still attacks him backstage. And I kind of thought about it more. I was like, you know what? That makes at least a bit of sense, you know? Like, I can believe that a heel would do that. It's like, oh, I can't be at ringside. I'll attack him before the match. Sure, I get that. And I don't know if they're going to keep this Kevin Owens thing going because there's a lot of different moving pieces all kind of connected here. We know that Big E's not going to feud with Aleister Black now. So, presumably, he will still be involved in this four-way Intercontinental title feud. But I don't know. We'll see where that goes. I would like to see Apollo Crews just get a win one of these times, you know, maybe not necessarily in this match, but one of these times he just needs to like beat someone. I don't know who that is. Have him beat Chad Gable or something. Like, just get some wins is all I'm asking. Like, some good, solid, clean, decisive wins that would make me believe that when he does lose the Intercontinental title, he's not just going to go back to what he was, which is like a very low mid card person. If he can get a few of those wins, I'll be really happy. But for the sake of this match, like, yeah, I enjoyed it. It had a good finish. I like Apollo Crews' work. I like Kevin Owens' work. Kevin Owens is really good selling, you know? So there's a lot to like in this match. If they go and give Apollo Crews some wins in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then after that, we got the Street Profits promo that we mentioned before, and then the main event of the Usos versus Mysterios. So overall, I thought this was a solid show. I had my gripes with the Roman stuff, as I've mentioned, but those are minor points in comparison to the overall thing of the story is really good that I'm just really into. I quite liked a lot of the other stuff, like the in-ring stuff made a lot of sense to me, like the Cruz-Owens match was still a lot of fun to watch. I quite liked the Carmella-Liv Morgan match, even though it was only like 2 minutes, and I know a lot of people didn't. Overall, I gave the show a 4 out of 5, because even the stuff that wasn't that good, I felt at least progressed the story. Like, at least we've now got Bayley, Bianca at Hell in a Cell confirmed. Like, it was, the stories felt like they furthered, even apart from Corbin and Nakamura, because... But I still think it's a 4 out of 5 show for me. Like a low 4.
Fair enough. Yeah, I would say it's a 3 out of 5 for me personally. Just because, I mean, that Corbin Nakamura thing was like really bad. That was really bad. Didn't really enjoy the Bayley promo segment that much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there were other bits and bobs kind of throughout the show where I was like, I wasn't the biggest fan of that. But that being said, the Roman Reigns whole series and the matches the Usos and the Mysterios had were like really good, and that bumped it up. So I'm gonna go like kind of in the an upper 3, a high 3. Mm-hmm. Out of 5. Yeah. I would say
makes sense. Ryan, I'm saying a not so dominant 4, but a pretty intense 4. Yeah,
very good.
Appreciate it. It seems that the majority of the SWAFT nation agreed with you on the community tab here on the podcast channel. Majority of people voting for a 3 out of 5, 52% going for a 3 out of 5, 28% going slightly higher at the 4. So very much in that kind of high 3, low 4 range that we just mentioned, seem to be in a general consensus there, which is good. It means you people aren't idiots. So that's nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to agree with the people every once
isn't
in
it,
a while.
Isn't it nice? Yeah.
Not just also, be called an idiot in the comment section for thinking something's a 3 out of 5 or a 4 out of 5. And I'll be honest, guys, I thought about that number score for about 2 seconds.
Yeah,
you don't need to get worked up about it.
Before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, which we will get to, we're going to get through all of them. Last chance to get those in, wrestletalk.com/support. Get your messages in now, because we will get through all of them before we end the show. We first need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on Patreon. If you've not been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. The voting for WrestleTalk Extra for this month is going on right now. So you guys get to choose which show Ollie and Luke get to review for WrestleTalk Extra for this month. It's a whole retro review of an old show that they've not reviewed before. I believe currently winning is King of the Ring 1998. So you can go watch that classic pay-per-view. You know the one with the Hell in a Cell. That one. If you want to make sure that show wins or try and get another show to win, you can head on over to the Patreon page to influence that vote. That's available for $5 backers and above. And if you pledge at the $25 above, $25 or above tiers, there we go, you get your own custom wrestling nickname and it gets run out on a show much like this one. So thank you to My Immortal Is My Favorite Song, Mashy. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Cyclone, Brandon Sires.
Woo, Cyclone. Top mod, that man. Dustin, the Professor, Layton. Woo.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Superkick, Nick Mazesco.
Yeah. Woo. Thank you very much. The $100 Man, CD Horvath. Woo. Thank you very much.
The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Woo, yes. Thank you very much. Ryan, Disco Stewart. Woo. Thank you very much.
He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Yeah, he sure can. Fantastic Mr. Good Old Fox. Woo! Thank you very much.
The Cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Woo! Thank you very much. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez. Woo! Thank you very much.
And finally, Will, always mark out for Ollie, Landrum.
What a terrible choice. Where would you mark out for Ollie and not the intangibles?
Absolutely. I made it through all those without messing one up. I'm very proud of myself.
Well done. Better than I did. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last call for those. We've got one here from Mads Albeck Christensen that says, where would you rank the current Roman Reigns character in the grand scheme of things, not just current wrestling, but throughout history? It's pretty up there. It's weird to say because it's a different kind of character, because I feel like there's been a lot more wrestlers that are like more over. You know, you just have a character that's really good that people just really like, where it's like The Rock, you know, when he was, obviously he's had different variations of The Rock when he's been like Hollywood Rock and things like that. But like, you don't often see a wrestling character that just goes through normal storytelling beats. Like, their character just develops because of the matches and things that happen to them. So it's a really odd one to place, because there's been better wrestling characters, but also this is one of the best storytelling characters. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It'll be interesting. I can't really say right now. I want to see where things are at the end of it, you know. Like, I want to be able to look back, take a step back and look at the whole character in full and this whole storyline before I kind of decide where he fits into the hierarchy of wrestling characters in my mind. Because, again, like, a lot of the time when you think of, like, great characters, you think of, like, well, Ted DiBiase was a great character, or Randy Savage was a great character. And a lot of the time it's, like, this gimmick, this character, this, you know, three bullet points of what the character was is what you think of, as opposed to, like, if you looked at this Roman Reigns and said, look at Randy Savage in the Mega Powers and turning heel, that's more of like an apt comparison, because it's like a character progression taking place over time, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting after it's done to take a look back on it, because I don't know that it's like the very top, but it's the best WWE has done in a long, long time.
Yeah. For sure. Blind Raw comes in to say, am I too optimistic in believing that when live fans come back, they gauge the engagement towards the Roman storyline, they're finally going to do the same for their other storylines? I want the show to be great for everyone, not just those with Roman. Short answer, yes, you are too optimistic.
Yeah. The other storylines don't have Paul Heyman writing them.
Yeah. And they don't have Roman Reigns at the forefront.
Yeah.
Soz. Caleb Maldonado says, wouldn't it be better if Adams said no and the Usos go to the ref and threaten him, have Sonya grant them a rematch, and then continue the Adam-Sonya feud they have, as well as the Roman storyline? What's the Adam-Sonya feud? Like, Sonya's just like kind of undermining Adam every so often. That's the feud, I guess.
Yeah.
Where's that going?
I think what they did was fine, personally.
Yeah. It was fine. They even had a little bit where Adam was just saying, like, well, the referee's decision is final. And Sonya goes, oh, no, we'll take a look at the footage and we'll get back to you. So they're still playing up, keeping that plate spinning for something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. If they
went to a referee and was like, hey, you need to reverse the decision or whatever, I feel like that opens a bigger can of worms that, well, now every time there's a screwy finish, let's just harass the referee and get him to change it, which has never been something that WWE's done. Well, I should say never, almost never.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anderson Floyd says, as soon as I heard Roman call Jay Jimmy, I immediately wanted to discuss it with Pete. He echoes my thoughts like I just talked to him personally. LIW 444 life. I'm just so relatable. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm just a genius. Tyler Woodward says, Slim Choppy is when is the new LP coming out? Seriously though, Roman is the best thing on WWE ATM, except for the Indian Dexter story. I really don't understand the hate you have towards it, Tempest. Do you not like love? Also, you screwed Louis. Jam that jam. Well, we've spoken enough about Dexter Lumis on the NXT podcast, so you know, we're not gonna rise to that bait here. Tyler,
if you want to try and understand it, listen to our NXT podcasts. Every podcast virtually we've done since WrestleMania has involved some sort of discussion about the Dexter Lumis character. So if you don't understand it, maybe not listen carefully. You know, that sentence didn't make sense. Listen more carefully. You're not listening carefully. One of those two.
Careful listen. Isaiah Garner says, as a WWE lifer, I've tried my best to hold out hope that they'll eventually get better. The stuff with Roman is excellent, but everything else is at best. But after all the releases, I just couldn't believe it. That, for me, is what turned me 100% to AEW. And that is totally fair.
Yeah.
Do you want to take over these ones, Tempest?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Why not? We've got some more WWE chats from Bazo Banks saying WWE just hired two black women to write for SmackDown starting next week. And you know they didn't start this week because of the things in both women's segments, especially the Liv Carmella, what those segments were about. You can always count on Roman being great. Yeah.
I've seen about that, about the WWE hires. I'm quite. Yeah. It's good. Good on them.
I like the idea of more voices in that room with different perspectives, and hopefully that can lead to better stories being told. Maybe I'm working myself in that case because it's WWE, but fingers crossed. Optimism. That one guy I know says, it's a good name, with all the cuts being made, why would Bryan Danielson want to re-sign? He wants to work with new talent, but there really isn't any. For having a ton of talent, SmackDown and Raw has very few ideal matchups. I can only think of Priest and Gable. I mean, he's been there for a while. That being said, like, there's still a lot of big matches that Daniel Bryan hasn't had. You know, Daniel Bryan hasn't had like a big feud with like Seth Rollins, and that would be a really good match, which is crazy. You know, like, he had like a few matches back when they were the Shield, but.
And there's one that I've really liked to see him have a good feud with, and that's Shinsuke Nakamura, because he hasn't really done that. I think he's had like one singles match with Nakamura, and it lasted like 12 minutes on SmackDown once, and that was it. And it ended with DQ or something, some kind of shoddy roll-up or something, and that was it. Like, come on. You got Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I think there's still possibilities, but he'll do what he wants to do, and I think that's fine. And that one guy I know follows up by saying, to add to my other comment, maybe Drew or Lashley, but honestly, I've grown tired of them. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
It's Raw, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't like that show on this here podcast. Rat with Wings says, I refuse to watch WWE, but I always tune in every morning to watch my boys tear their hair out at how bad it is. Keep fighting the good fight and screaming at the brick wall that is Vince McMahon. L-I-W for life. I don't tear my hair out. I wear a mask. And Bazo Banks.
Tear out.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for people to tear their hair out, you're on the wrong channel, I'll be honest. And Bazo Banks says, upon further thought, I did like the Liv Mella match. It was just the I'm hot, so I'm better thing that really annoyed me. And props to Bayley for having that shrine feature, nothing from the hugger era playing into what she told Bianca in that serious promo. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. It was only heel moments in her little shrine.
Yeah, and that like makes that a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, they had about maybe four photos that they just repeated because they couldn't be bothered to find more. Or maybe made it quickly. It's also probably more likely. But yes. We've got one more.
Yep. There's one left from Hannah Allen saying, love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Feel the love, L-I-W.
Aw. Thank you.
Thank you.
For life. Thank you guys for all your ultra chats. I didn't mention it at the start of the show, but I'll mention it now, by the way. For all the weeks that AEW is going to be on a Friday night, we will not be doing AEW Dynamite reviews. That includes the news. That includes on the podcast reviews, because other people ain't going to work Saturdays. Soz. We will just continue reviewing SmackDown for all the weeks that AEW is on Fridays, which I believe is the rest of the month? Question mark? Maybe. But however many weeks it is from now, I forget off the top of my head. We will just continue doing SmackDown reviews. No AEW Dynamite reviews for however long they're on Fridays. So, Tempest, something that I wanted to bring up to you. I was just watching a YouTube video earlier today or yesterday, whenever it was. I can't remember. What is time? just watching a YouTube video, which is just like a compilation of this guy that I like to watch, a guy by the name of Jules Conroy, who also goes by Family Jules on YouTube, who does covers of songs and things and such. But he's also just a streamer, does like speedrunning and things like that. And on YouTube, he does like cut downs or like highlights from his Twitch streams, just like little funny bits and pieces and stuff. And he had a video where someone in his Twitch chat, you just saw on the side of the screen, because he has his Twitch chat on the actual stream itself. You could tell it was a little bit old, maybe like a week or two old, because someone in the chat just put Leafs are going to win the cup, which I thought was really funny. And then they got into a conversation about hockey, and then he said that they were Bruins fans. And, you know, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, I have no interest in hockey, and yet I've heard about it more in these last couple weeks than I ever have before. And it's infiltrating all the other stuff I do as well. It's great.
Yeah, I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry to hear that. Yeah, it's been a rough week, I'll be honest. Mm. You know, if I was able to just not live on TV and the internet after game 7 on Monday, I probably would have been able to just been like, whatever. Because I went for a walk, like I said on the NXT podcast. I went for a walk, I cleared my head, decided that hockey was a dumb thing to care about that much, and just kind of moved on with my life. But then, of course, I still have to listen to all the podcasts that I do regarding the Leafs. And one individual in particular, and I will say very quickly, because there's a guy named Steve Dangle, who's like a professional Maple Leafs fan, basically. That's his job. He's managed to actually make a career out of it, and good on him. He was live streaming his reactions to all the games on the Sportsnet YouTube channel. And I popped into the chat in a few of the games and asked a question or two. And there were people in there that were like, "Hey, it's Tempest from WrestleTalk." Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And I was like, "Yeah, that's
really
neat.
Cool."
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, that's fun." He did not take this series as well as I did. And that's considering, you know, how poorly I took this loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this, like, he wants to quit his job, and not I hate, like, rage-filled that night kind of thing. He's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is misery. Yeah. It's really, really depressing, because I don't know what Quizzlemania I said it on, but there was a Quizzlemania earlier this year where someone was like, "Oh, what are the Leafs going to win?" And I was just like, if the Leafs don't win the cup this year, they'll never win it. This is their best shot at winning the Stanley Cup. And I firmly believe that this was by far their best shot at winning this thing. And they completely choked, epically choked in only a fashion that they can.
Mm-hmm.
They're the worst sports franchise in North America. I hate this team more than the Cleveland Browns, the New York Knicks, the Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys. Doesn't matter. All the loser franchises have nothing on this team, because this team chokes in epic fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that cup is remaining with Stanley for a little while longer. The Leafs don't get to take it this time. Let's get into some of your emails. If you want to email into this podcast, by the way, support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do so. And we'll hopefully get through some of your messages on this podcast. We've been asking for pictures of your pets, and boy howdy, you guys have sent us pictures of your pets. Go on here from Nishant, who was the OG who sent in pictures of their dogs. It says, "Dear LIW, it's me again, the originator of sending in pictures of my pets. I'm not upset that my gimmick has been copied as much as the mania part of WrestleMania with stuff like Triple Mania and Quizzlemania. And speaking of Quizzlemania, the disrespect you guys were shown on the quiz was criminal. Adam Blondplate couldn't pronounce LIW. Sounds like someone's asking to get explodified. Also, attaching some pictures of my pups, because, well, they're cute. Oh, and by the way, my Labrador, there's a third one. My Labrador is called Ruby. She loves watching wrestling with me. Her intangibles are kind, cuteness, and being able to do the best puppy dog eyes. That's all for today. Stay safe and lots of love." So you know what it's time for, Tempest. This is great audio content, because it's time for me to share my screen so you can see.
I do like that he really nailed those intangibles. Oh, this is adorable. This is adorable.
I know.
Really nailed those intangibles, because it was like, it was kind cuteness instead of kindness and cuteness.
Exactly.
One of them is a noun.
Yeah, one's a noun, one's an adjective. Oh. It's the way. Oh man, these dogs are the best.
I just love dogs. How could you not love dogs?
I know, right?
I love all dogs.
These pictures are incredibly small, so I'm having to zoom in quite a lot so he can actually see them properly. But you know, it's fine.
Oh,
and then the one sleeping in the background. Oh man,
I didn't even see that one, man.
Yeah,
love animals.
Adorable. There's so many dogs. Oh my god, this is the best. And they're all playing. This is great. That one's chewing on a bone. Oh, man. Oh, thanks for that. You're the greatest.
It's crazy. I for some reason, I've got like four different friends who all have cats that they send me just cat-related content routinely. I don't have enough people with dogs. So this is like my dog content for the week. I very much appreciate it from all of our viewers.
It's the dog podcast now. The dog cast.
I was going to say that, but I decided not to.
We've got another email here from Nathan. It says, "Hey guys, I'm Nathan. I've been a Podswefter since 2017. Goodness me. And I'm finally getting around to emailing in for the first time, as it seems you guys need emails, and I love the dog segments. I attached a picture of my dog below. She's a tiny chihuahua named Leia, after the Star Wars character, who turns 4 years old next month. I love that everyone's attaching their intangibles. Her intangibles are small-statured, friendly, love, opposite of cat."
Opposite of cat, yes.
Love it. Let me screen share this one for you. I am... look at
that.
Look at Leia go.
She looks so happy. It's in a field.
So happy. I love it. It's the best. Also, that picture is gigantic. I've had to zoom out to get that picture in. Goodness me.
There's another dog in the background.
Yeah, for the epic reveal, I am stopping sharing my screen each time we get to a new email, so Tempest can have the reveal of seeing the dog for the first time, just in case you guys were wondering, because I know that's really important. The email continues to say, "What's that? Need more podcast content? Cool, because I have a topic I'd like to hear you guys talk about. I randomly got into tattoos a lot this year, as I started the year with 0 and now have 3 and want many more. My question is, what is your guys' favorite tattoo that you have, and or which tattoo has the most meaning to you? Also, any plans to get more? Thank you guys so much for all the incredible hard work and entertainment you guys provide, as it helps me get through my 10-hour shifts at work and means more than you could imagine. Have a nice day, guys. Nathan." Thank you very much for the email, Nathan. Tattoos. Plans to get more? Yes. Yes. Yeah. I cannot wait to get more. I just need time, money, and a tattoo artist. Which, you know, three things that you do generally need in order to get a tattoo in the first place. My favorite and the one that has the most meaning to me are two different ones. My favorite one is the one I've got on my arm at the top, which is the four elements from Avatar: The Last Airbender. Which is fun. It's my favorite just because I think they look really cool, and I really like Avatar, and that's cool. The one that has the most meaning to me is the one that's on my wrist, which is kind of like a stylized Pokeball thing with the initials RQ in the middle, because that was the Pokemon YouTube channel that I had, which was the gateway into doing content creation for me, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, because it gave me everything, my lifelong friends, it gave me all the skills I needed to do the job I have now. It put me on the path to kind of happiness in a way. So that was, that means a lot to me. So I liked to commemorate it just with that little one.
That's cool.
How about you?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm planning to get more. I've got a sleeve that's like barely filled in. Thanks, COVID. And of course, I'll be getting that jam tattoo as soon as tattoo shops reopen, which hopefully we're getting close to. I've kind of lost track of how many tattoos I've got. It's like 9, maybe 10 at this point. The most important one to me, they're probably both the same. It's probably the first one that I got, which is the sun tattoo on my shoulder. It's the first one that I got when I think I was like 19 or so. Going through a bit of a rough patch, got it because it symbolized hope, and you know, You try and still look at it every once in a while and be like, oh yeah, I remember why I got that. Mm-hmm. I still like it too. Like, there's a bunch of the ones that I've got now. Like, I got a flying strawberry tattoo from Celeste, which I really liked, and my tattoo artist also really liked, because she was like, that's a dumb idea. I love that. Mm. You know, she was just like tired of doing flowers and whatever else. She was like, that's different. That'll be fun. Yeah. I'll put that in my flash page or something.
Yeah, I don't have any more, but I'll probably be getting more in the future for sure. We don't have any more time to go through more emails. There are more emails of dogs and all sorts of stuff that we didn't get to today because we ran out of time, but we will be going through them at some point, probably on the NXT podcast or next week's SmackDown one. Who knows? Continue. Please do continue emailing in, support@wrestletalk.com, and we'll make sure to get through all your emails when we can. But thank you very much for listening, everyone. Stay tuned for more content coming soon. We've got TakeOver coming next weekend, and we've got Hell in a Cell after that as well. It's going to be a good time. Catch you guys later. Stay safe. I forgot the things I say on the outro. What do I say? Take care of each other. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye. I remembered it. I'm a genius. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.